call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
Rachel, welcome.
Thank you.
Sorry, like, bit of an odd one. So, like, major things happening in Australia today.
Absolutely massive. It looks like, and I just realised because time zones exist, that we might be about 1.5 hours to 2 hours away from getting a new prime minister.
Which, yeah, that's crazy to hear about. My producer just let me know that there was a tweet out recently that said all the signatures were secured for a leadership challenge. So, like, that's 100.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's like just happened 2 seconds ago.
Right. Well, yeah. So, I guess it all started. We were speaking last week about the National Energy Guarantee and how it was causing a little bit of tension in the Liberal Party. And yeah, that seems to have been quite an understatement. There was a lot of talk about some members of the right faction not wanting there to be such a high emissions target. And at the start of the week, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull dumped the emissions target completely, causing a lot of anger on the left side of politics. And it was seen as an attempt to essentially stave off a leadership challenge. And the next day, Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton called for a leadership challenge anyway. So there was a leadership challenge on Tuesday morning, which Turnbull won about, I think, 48 votes to 35. Mm. And it looked like it was all going to be said and done for about 2 hours until he Peter Dutton went on radio and said that he was just going to run the numbers and do another one. And so, yeah, since then, we've seen major resignations from front benchers who are all saying that they no longer support Malcolm Turnbull as Prime Minister because they no longer believe he has the numbers. And as of yesterday, Turnbull has said that if someone can present him a petition calling from with the signatures of a majority of the Liberal Party calling for a second party room meeting and a second leadership spill motion, that he will call that meeting at midday today, which is a little bit earlier here than it is in New Zealand, and he will resign as Prime Minister and we'll have a vote.
Wow, that is crazy. I just, like, I also think about it in terms of political strategy. So, like, someone dumping a bill so someone doesn't challenge them, like,
yeah,
that looks like a very weak political strategy in any country. Why?
Yeah, I would say that's probably one of the things that's led to Turnbull's downfall, is that he was picked as the popular leader because he was sort of a bit more of a centrist leader, but he's had this powerful conservative right faction within his party challenge him on basically everything, and on basically everything he's caved. So that hard right faction has decided that they're going to challenge and they're going to try and take control, not necessarily because he's not giving them what they want, but potentially just because they want that power, because where he's standing, he's disappointing the people who supported him without necessarily giving all the power to those who want it.
Mm. So at the minute, it's meant to be that there's three potential prime ministers, right? So we have Scott Morris, Julie Bishop, and Peter Dutton, correct?
Yes, yeah. It's interesting, really. Peter Dutton's been the major challenger. He's the reason why this has all happened. But he's quite a controversial figure. I've got a bit of a list of things that he's done so far while in government. And that is, for one, he boycotted the apology to the stolen generation of Aboriginal people about 10 years ago. He accidentally texted a female journalist once, calling her a mad witch, and there was an expletive chucked in there as well. He's joked about Pacific Islands drowning because of global warming on mic, despite being a climate change skeptic. He is most likely personally responsible for denying critically ill refugees on Manus Island and Nauru treatment for their mental and physical illnesses. He's been accused of dog whistling for suggesting that people were too afraid to go out in the city of Melbourne because of African gangs. And he's suggested that all Australians should pay $7 to go to the doctor in a country where we very much value having free healthcare.
So, I mean, obviously you can't see me, but as you're speaking, my mouth just drops lower and lower hearing about all this stuff. Why does this man have so much power and support in politics in Australia?
It's incredibly interesting. We're not really sure. He doesn't have any sort of widespread popularity that we can see in the general population. I think he's only got about a 1% majority in his own electorate. But it just seems that there's a bit of a disconnect between how conservative politicians see the opinions of the wider Australia and the actual reality. Julie Bishop, who's one of the other people who has potentially put her hand up, is actually by far the most popular choice. The issue is that she has not necessarily ever really wanted to be prime minister. And she's a deputy prime minister at the moment. She may not necessarily want to go against Malcolm Turnbull, but it's starting to look like her or Scott Morrison will need to step up to prevent this man from becoming prime minister.
I'm sorry, I really just can't wrap my head around how this man has been given any kind of opportunity to be Prime Minister of Australia. So what has the general population kind of response to that been? What are news outlets? Sorry, too many questions. But what are news outlets responding to it?
It's a pretty easy question to answer, really. Basically, everyone is just furious. Not specifically because of the possibility of having Dutton as Prime Minister, but mainly just the concept that we're having this conversation again. So in the past 11 years, we've had this will be our seventh leadership change. And it's looking like, because the Liberal Party is so unstable at the moment, that Labor will win the election next year. So we will have 8 leadership changes in 12 years. And since John Howard lost the election in 2007, we've not had a single prime minister actually complete a full term before being ousted before the next federal election. So really, it just looks like over the past decade, neither of our major political parties have actually had strong enough leadership to just sit back and get the job done instead of constantly talking about who's the most popular leader to take us into the next election.
Where does that instability come from in terms of, like, not being able to maintain?
It's hard to say. I mean, there's a lot of people who've said things like social media and things like polling, that there's always, like, negative opinion polls. But I would say that the culture was created with the initial leadership spill that saw the Labor Prime Minister Julia Gillard take power from Kevin Rudd, and him subsequently, a couple of years later, go around and end up winning a second leadership spill. It really just set up a culture in Australia that if things aren't looking a little bit right, you basically just take power, and then the person who has lost power sits back and waits for their opportunity to roll them again. And a lot of blame has been thrown in this particular instance to former Prime Minister Tony Abbott, who's essentially spent his time since being Prime Minister sitting on the backbench of the Liberal Party and stirring up drama.
Wow. I can't. I'm sorry. I can't. Like, this man, I've heard about him not supporting marriage equality and some of his thoughts on that, and it's just someone who does not seem to, do those viewpoints kind of reflect a portion of Australia's population? Because unfortunately, that is one of the stereotypes that you have about Australia, that there is a large amount of racism there. Does that reflect?
I would say there is definitely a subsection of society that are cheering on Tony Abbott and are cheering on even the far right parties outside the Liberal Party, and are saying that they are a reflection of their views. But I would say that the politicians in these powerful positions believe that their support is a lot wider than it actually is.
Mm. I'm just going to jump on to Nauru in terms of the refugee children, much more dark. And
yes, it's been quite an interesting week. We've had, on Monday, there was a campaign launch to get all 116 children who are still stuck on Nauru as refugees off Nauru by November. And it's been an absolute horror week to launch this campaign because, of course, by Tuesday, all anyone wants to talk about is the leadership spill. But I think it is important for Australians to remember that in this week we've seen a 12-year-old boy who has essentially stopped eating or drinking because he is suffering from that level of mental illness and hopelessness that he has just stopped functioning. And it was only when he was essentially on the brink of death that Australia finally let him come into the country for medical treatment. And we've also seen another very mentally ill girl on Nauru, I think she's also 12, attempt to kill herself essentially, because there's just so much hopelessness on that island. And the government is saying that a lot of these children aren't in detention, but essentially they're trapped on an island the size of Melbourne Airport with no sign of anything changing in their life, and they believe that they may be stuck there forever until Australia decides to bring them here. So it's been a very difficult thing to talk about this week when we've been talking constantly about our leadership problems. But I guess it just goes to show the frustrations of having this leadership drama brought up constantly in Australia, and we really do have very serious issues.
Definitely. And with one of the candidates, Peter Dutton, being responsible for that, basically, the fact that these people are there.
Yeah, I mean, it is the tough thing about Peter Dutton being the Home Affairs Minister, that he will be seen as responsible for this when it is currently a bipartisan policy. But he has had the power to veto some things, and as far as I'm concerned, the only time he has ever vetoed in the way of compassion is to bring his own personal au pair into the country rather than showing compassion to sick children, essentially. So yes, it is an interesting thing to remember when this man could be our prime minister in an hour or so.
Definitely something interesting that we should be thinking about. Jacinda Ardern, our prime minister, of course, has been, the word as she's using is softening her tone around accepting refugees from Nauru. So I just, why is there such a backlash to having New Zealand accept these refugees?
I think it's very hard for Australia to realise, and a lot of people are saying it, that at the moment it just looks like New Zealand is being run a lot better. I mean, we're struggling to figure out who our Prime Minister is, while we had a visit from Winston Peters, I believe, this week, and we're seeing him have a great time helping run the country while your prime minister raises a baby. And it's just amazing to watch, whereas over here everything is in chaos.
So you think it's a matter of people having too much pride potentially?
Yeah, but then there's also just this concept that we can't do anything because if we show an ounce of compassion, it will bring people back here on boats. But it's hard to believe that everyone has stopped risking their lives to come to Australia because we're holding these children at ransom. And even if it is working, whether that is really the choice that we should be making.
Definitely. Well, I guess I will be speaking with you about everything. I guess next week you're going to have an actual leader, hopefully.
Yes.
Like, strongly firm, committed.
Our Prime Minister is with absolute certainty.
And I'm excited to hear that. I'm excited to hear that Australia is going to have a new Prime Minister. That's going to
Hopefully we'll have our act together a little bit next week.
I mean, fingers crossed. We'll speak with you next week, Rachel.
Yeah, right.
Bye.
That was Neighborhood Watch. Ripper.